You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Pam Glick. Pam, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you, Brainerd. Thanks for asking.
So let's talk about what you're working on now. Perhaps we'll talk a little bit about your history and what you've been doing, but what are you working on at the moment?
Well, I just finished a painting yesterday that I've been working on for probably a month, I would guess, around a month. It's 5 foot square, and I should just preface it by saying my brother died about 10 days ago.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah,
thanks. It was a long battle with cancer. And so this painting, it just kind of was okay where it was. And I'd been in and out of my studio and like worked on it little bits here and there. And I thought it was okay, but I wouldn't have called it done. And then when I came in, it was like the first full day of being back in the studio since, he passed away. I just looked at this painting and I just knew what to do, which is, you know, what you're always hoping for anyway. Like, usually in a painting that something happens between you and the painting, like you find this thing that you're searching for if you haven't found it yet. Like when it happens, it just kind of clicks. And this was just a little bit different, you know, probably because I was so emotionally spent, but I really had the sense of the painting, like physically taking me to the ending of it. And, it's like a very powerful imagery that I just hadn't planned at all. It's not like that different from other things, but it also kind of is. And it was a pretty mystical experience. And I'm not saying that, you know, my brother did anything or anything like that, but it just, you know, my emotions had been pretty raw, and I just somehow was as open to the painting telling me what to do, and I did it. And it's just a fantastic experience because that's really what I'm always trying to do. Like, you're searching at the same time you're, like, the thing is already there, and kind of the word is searching, but really it's just kind of recognizing more than searching. And so that painting I just finished, and, that was great. That's just the best feeling when that happens.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So let's talk a little bit more about that. So, because this painting also sounds so different from your others, or at least an approach, so maybe we can talk about how it is different. This painting, can you tell me a little bit what it looks like? Is it patterns? It's abstract, I assume.
Yeah, it's abstract, and I start most of my paintings. I did this very long-standing series, which I'm not saying it's over, but it was based on Niagara Falls, or a lot of the titles are Niagara, USA, Canada, because Niagara Falls, you can view it from US or Canada. And it kind of describes where I am geographically, and also all kinds of other kind of metaphorical things about borders and the energy and everything. So I had been starting things with this, you know, you could describe it as like a diagonal, and on one side of the diagonal is parallel lines, and on the other side of the diagonal are vertical lines. So you're kind of, can you picture what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then it's within a square. So it's like, you know, the side of a table or a corner, however you want to look at it. And that was kind of like the geographic, the geometric shape of the falls. And this painting, the one that I just finished, and others too, but this one in particular, had just a much more almost random initial drawing, like the architecture or the bones of it. The it's really almost like the gesture, even though it's more kind of graphic, straight lines. Like, and that is what all the following marks and bits of paint and activity are kind of based on, those initial marks. And I know that they're there, and I know that those are the most important ones of the painting, but a viewer probably won't see that. Like, you don't see the footprint of a house. When you look at a house, like, you see all these other kind of shutters and things. And anyway, so this painting had kind of that part of it. But then I think because of the internet and how I'm always like pressing things like and putting hearts on everything, you know, hearts are like just everywhere. Like, there's just heart icons everywhere. Like within the marks that I've been making on the paintings, it's like an automatic like hearts that are all looped together, kind of like when you're learning cursive writing, but they're hearts. And so there were kind of two parallel lines of hearts, like two columns, like on a minimalist painting, you know, like two stripes, like an Ad Reinhardt zip, but it was hearts. So kind of like a cliche of like a girly zip, if you want to put it that way. And then, I don't know, I'm just like, in the back, all that other stuff was black, I should say, and like different tones of black and gray and like watered down black paint, like India ink kind of color with water. But then this heart part was color. And so it was like this very like kind of popped out, these kind of lines of color, and these lines of hearts. And then I connected these two lines of hearts, like two stripes of hearts. They didn't go all the way from top to bottom. So almost like an 11 of hearts, but they didn't end at the same places, but they're vertical. And then I just connected them with two other lines. So basically made like a square, or really what it looked like to me was a portal. It looked like a gate made out of hearts. And then suddenly, like, the painting just took on this insanely like ethereal, and, you know, if you will, like going from like a Eurydice, like walking through the door, window, whatever. What does she walk through? I know she goes from this world to that world. I can't think of what it was, but so it's like this, you know, kind of tones of black and all this kind of marks, and then this like really beautiful, and it actually is on Instagram if you want to look at it. I don't know.
Well, there'll
if
be images
Instagram,
on the interview.
But
so
you
people
can
see that. But
yeah, people can look at my Instagram and see it's like the last thing that I posted. But it's, I don't know, it definitely is so connected to what I went through with my brother. And, you know, so to me, it's just like extra poignant and beautiful. And I kind of think that other people felt it too. So that
felt it to in what sense? You mean that the painting people reacted to it a little differently than others?
Well, I just, you know, I didn't just put a title. I usually write Niagara, USA, Canada, most every abstract painting. Brainerd, this is going to be, I think this is pretty funny, but they just all could be titled Niagara. Like every abstract painting looks like some kind of depiction of water falling. And like, just go look at a Pollock or a Franz Klein. And like, once I realized that, it almost became like a personal, it's kind of comedy, like looking at abstract paintings, Joan Mitchell. Yeah, that looks like Niagara Falls. Oh, look over at that Rothko. Yeah, those look like Niagara Falls. So, you can kind of randomly title abstract paintings, which I think there's something charming about that. I once did a series called Lost and Found, and I went on the JFK, the airport. I went on the JFK website because I lost a suitcase, and it listed all these lost items. And I had just finished this series of like 24 abstract paintings, and I didn't title any of them. And I just randomly attached these titles to these paintings, like someone lost a glass eye, someone lost like a bear skin wrapped in salt, someone lost like an iPad. And as soon as you attach these titles to these paintings, they look just like, they just look like those things. You just immediately are, the suggestion of it is. So, this painting that we're talking about, I just said it was for my brother, and I think people, maybe it's possible some people that know me personally might have mentioned something like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry about that, or, they knew. But I think other people just kind of sensed there was something spiritual about it, and, attaching words to a picture, I think, is always pretty tricky and random, and I try not to be too pretentious about that.
I'm so sorry to hear about your brother. That's kind of huge.
You.
And this painting
it's
you're saying
huge.
Is also, it is huge. And you're saying this painting is so different than the others, because of the experience you went through. It, when you said it was almost mystical, you're referring to kind of the experience you just described, right?
Yeah, I think it, the experience of finishing it, I really kind of willed it to happen. And, oh, if you could only always do that, cause sometimes you just can't figure out the end of some of these things. But, I just really felt pulled into this painting and pulled along by this painting. Like the painting, the way I work anyway is like you just have these feelings and the painting tells you what to do. And you try, kind of like a kid, like, well, you have this child and you can't like make them into somebody else that they're not. You get a blueprint sort of and try not to screw it up too much. And the paintings are like that. Like if sometimes I'll have like a super successful painting, like, oh my God, that thing is, how did I even do that? That was really good. You try to make that painting again or something like almost like that painting. You just can't do it. It just inevitably is a flop. So you just have to stay in that place where you're, letting that stuff happen. Of course there's parameters and like a certain palette or whatever that you're using. But, and this one isn't like so off the charts different, but there definitely is something, subject matter that I did not set out to make this about him. My brother's name was Archie. And I didn't set out to make it about him or for him or anything like that. And it just so clearly was when I finished it, so clearly was about that. So it does have a different feeling. It does have a, you know, kind of I'm in awe of something. There's some kind of feeling like that.
And what will happen next? So you're working, you finished that. What's next for you? Are you preparing for a show, or what will happen with the current work?
Those two things. I am preparing for a show in the fall. I'm going to be showing at the, it's called UB Anderson. It's part of the University of Buffalo, inherited this amazing art collection and commercial art gallery, which now belongs to the university, from the estate of David Anderson, who was a really major collector of contemporary, mostly abstract expressionist art. And it's, has a director, Robert Scalise. I'm going to have a show there, and it's in this beautiful room. He wants 4 big paintings in this room, like 6-foot squares or bigger than that. I like to work in squares, so like 6 or 8 or 10-foot squares. I don't know. My biggest ones right now are 6-foot squares. I might try to go bigger, though. I love work. The bigger, the better for me. I just paint much better when I'm working bigger. And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about how just pure, like really beautiful color affects the kind of mark-making and almost calligraphic kind of marks that I make, which are often in black or often in like 1 or 2 colors. But I kind of want to get them, they're usually inspired or usually organized by this architecture that I told you about in the beginning, like either that Niagara diagonal or some other kind of architectural type drawing, and then I kind of write or paint within that. But I was really thinking about how much I just love pure color and how like that, I want that to go down first and then have the calligraphy or the writing kind of stuff come react to that. Usually the color comes after that, but I was thinking of that. So I want to like stain some canvas and see if those kind of marks of staining really nice color would, because I kind of use really watered down thin paint, and like it's like sheets of that color kind of goes under the writing or under the marks and under it and over it, but you can see through it. It's not so thick that they work on 2 different levels.
I love that. That sounds so interesting. So yeah. How many pieces? So there'll be 4 pieces so, like that. That'll be exhibited.
Yeah, that room has 4 big walls and like this huge bank of windows, like massive, with a bunch of beautiful trees and stuff outside of it. It's a magical room. It's really pretty. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to do it.
Well, that's exciting, and I'm so glad we talked about this, and in particular that work. I want to ask you one more question before we go, which is, what are you reading now? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Oh, well, I just started a new book, but I'll tell you just quickly that I just finished The Ninth Street Women, which it seems like just everyone in the art world is reading this book. It's this fantastic history of the 40s, 50s, and so on, of like the New York art world and the New York School of Painting, abstract expressionists, is seen through the lens of 5 women, like the 5 kind of more seminal women of that period. So I just totally love that. That's like my people. It's like reading, you know, a caveman book, only it's like the painters that I really relate to. So I just can't recommend that book more. So, yeah, we can just stick with that book because this other book, The Overstory, I'm just, like, not that far into it, but I'm reading that also. I just started that. It's all about a tree, and they follow the history of a tree over many generations.
Mm.
But if they're painting fans out there, I mean, everyone should just read this Ninth Street Women. Who wrote that? Mary Gabriel is her name. And it's just riveting, you know, Jackson Pollock and Lee Krasner and the de Koonings and Helen Frankenthaler and Grace Hartigan. And there's one more, I think. I might be forgetting somebody. But those are the women. Those are the main women, and, you know, they're the way they work. Oh, Joan Mitchell, of course. She's the last one. And, I mean, each one of them are so different in their working process, but, like, I just relate to all of them. It really feels good to read a book about people that really did what you do and what happened to them.
Pam, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you, Brainerd. It was my pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.